Hello, welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. Today, I am talking to Eddie Lofthouse, founder at Harbour Brewing and High Point Drinks. And we're going to focus on High Point Drinks today. With decades of experience and the freedom to find unique possibilities in fermentation, they have created layered and complex non-alcoholic drinks. High Point's premium fermented non-alcoholic aperitifs and digestifs are made the right way with time, heart and soul by their expert team on the Cornish coast. And here to talk about High Point Drinks in his own words is Eddie Lofthouse.
So I'm Eddie. I started High Point, sort of the concept about 3 years ago, really. Just to clarify, like, I am not a non-alc guy. My background is actually in brewing beer, and I founded a brewery that we've done all right for ourselves. So we supply some of the best bars and restaurants around the country. So the inspiration for the non-alc was really a drive to drink less personally. Really getting whinged at by my wife for getting home after work on a Monday. Just that moment when you get home, you're just like, to switch off. I'm just going to have a beer. Just one, you know. It's not like I've got this massive alcohol problem. It's just that switch off beer at the end of the day. And she was like, why don't you just have, you know, a glass of water? And it just didn't give me that same thing. So we started playing around a lot around what could we do within beer, whether it's non-alc beer. And as yet, you know, we've got some amazing brewers that work for us. I haven't found a beer that really hits the mark for me yet. That's not a less than proposition. And the same with non-alc spirits in many ways. You know, don't want to talk about other people's products, but I haven't found a non-alc gin that's as good as gin. Like, I haven't found a non-alc alternative that is a mimic product that is as yet as good as the real thing. So when we started out, it was never to mimic a product that's already out in the market. So it wasn't making a non-alc beer that wasn't quite as good as a real beer, or it wasn't making a non-alc gin that wasn't quite up to a real gin. We wanted to make a product that we really enjoyed, that just fitted in a moment, and that after work. And we live, you know, I live down by the beach, so, you know, watching a sunset Monday night, I can't drink every day. So what is it that sort of Aperol moment, that gin and tonic, that first drink of the evening, like a spritzy summer drink. And that's where we came up with High Point Ruby, sort of grapefruity, really bitter. It allows you to drink at the same pace as an alcoholic drink, which I think is really important, because a lot of, you know, soft drinks as such, you just guzzle them down. You know, I'm drinking a ginger beer at the moment, and, you know, that'll be gone in 2 minutes. And you buy sugar content, so it's not particularly great for you. So, anyway, I sort of digress. But the sort of driver for it was personal, wanting to be better, you know, but at the same time, not in a sort of way that we want to preach about, you know, non-alcs the only way forward. We make the majority of our money from selling beer, right. So that would be wrong of us. But it's that moment where you're willing to sort of compromise on, and, you know, we all know we should make better choices, and it's about making appropriate choices for me. So, you know, I still go out to the pub with my wife, have a few drinks still, you know, go and watch footy and have a couple of pints, a glass of wine with dinner. But, you know, on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, when I don't really need to have a drink, it replaces that moment for me. Yeah, you know, my wife now, she prefers it to the sort of normal drinks that she would have gone for in the past. So it's really replaced alcohol for her. But for me, you know, I still enjoy a full fat beer, as well as you know, one of our other drinks that we produce.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is. Sometimes it's more about routine for guys, isn't it? Like you say, you finish work, you're almost on the clock. I mean, I grew up, my dad would come home and that would be, you know, his relief. He might even have one or two in the lorry on the way home. That was, you know, that things were done, you know, easier time, shall we say. But it's kind of habit forming, isn't it? Just that sitting down, switching off. How do you think it? Why do you think that is, personally, as well? Is it that alcohol serves as a relief?
Well, I don't even think it. I really don't think. I mean, as an ex-smoker, I gave up smoking really easily, and I didn't struggle. But it was, what do I replace it with in that moment? You know, get up in the morning, used to have a coffee and a cigarette, and the cigarette was just a habit bit. But I remember when it stopped, it was sort of like, all right, what do I replace that with? And it wasn't that I needed the nicotine. It was simply the habit part. And I think having that drink, that switch off moment for a lot of us, you know, you get to the end of a long day, get home at whatever time it is, 6:30, 7 o'clock. How do I now switch from work mode to switch off mode? And I don't think it's about the alcohol. I think it simply is the habit that a lot of us have got into in our, you know, pre-dinner drink, whatever it is. You go around to friends' houses, it's that, oh, let's have a drink. So, you know, alcohol, I don't think is the issue. It's the, what do we replace the alcohol with that allows us to still be creatures of habit, because that's what we are generally in life, and still enjoy that, and it not feel like a less than proposition or an inferior replacement for something. Mm. So yeah. You know, having a beverage that you drink at about the same pace, because a lot of soft drinks, you guzzle. If you go to the pub and your friends are all drinking pints and you're drinking Coke, you'll finish your Coke so quickly. And so it's about, you know, for me, a lot of it's about the moderation of liquid intake almost, because you don't sit in there and drink, let's say, you know, replacing an Aperol moment. You don't neck an Aperol in 2 minutes, but you might neck an Aperol in 2 minutes. But, you know, generally one doesn't.
Yeah, if my girlfriend's there, she will do, yeah. Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's about finding a drink that can replace that moment and replace the speed of serve, the experience, the feeling something special as well. If you're making a drink at home, whether it's a gin and tonic or an Aperol, or opening a beer and pouring a glass and you get that nice head, or whatever it is, there's part of the habit of preparing a beverage for that moment as well.
Yeah.
Even if it's just, you know, that riff, when you open a beer and you get that, you know, when you open it's part of that. It's all about the sensory thing. It's not just around the drink, and certainly not the alcohol. So it was finding those moments where, you know, ours is generally mixed with tonic, the Ruby. So, you know, it's that 50 mils, ice, slice, and then tonic water. And it, you know, it allows you to carry on those habits that a lot of us have formed over years and years of consumption.
Yeah.
And still have a memorable drink that makes you feel special, basically.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the kind of the sound of just opening a beer, but also I related that to smoking. When I used to smoke, I would always hate other people lighting my cigarettes, because you have that. And I think it's kind of, there is something psychoanalytical about it. When you hear the sound of that and the feel of the Zippo and the connection that you have with all that, it all kind of infuses the experience. And the same with drink. But you mentioned also the moment where you do treat yourself, because I feel like, you know, if you don't drink, I mean, I didn't drink for about 4.5 years. I've only just started drinking again recently, but there was never anything that I could do that was a decent ritual where I would feel like I'm treating myself, if you know what I mean. Even though I'm not drinking, I guess I'm treating my body well in that respect, but I'm not having any special moments. So I'm glad this kind of came.
Special moment, isn't it? It is. It's whether it's, you know, there's lots of non-alcs out there and lots of good ones, and lots of them allow you that moment where you prepare something that you feel special from. And it's not just, you know, I'm not drinking, so I'm not having this moment. It's being part, you know, being part of that experience that, you know, is part of, certainly part of British society, and, you know, much wider than that, I'm sure. But, you know, we are a creature of habit, and certainly over my number of years on the planet so far, alcohol's formed a big part of it. And, you know, we've got bars and restaurants and stuff that we have as a business, and, you know, we can go down and, you know, I'm going, as I'd said to you earlier, I'm going down to the beach afterwards. We've got a bar down there, but, you know, then I've got a 20-minute drive back home. So, you know, I won't be having a drink. I will have a high point, but it allows me that moment where I'm like, oh, cool, I'm in the bar.
Yeah.
I'm having a drink. I don't feel like I'm having something less than everyone else. I feel like I'm part of that. And you know, it's hugely important.
And how healthier is it? I always thought this when I was at the bar, not drinking. How healthier is it to have like a Coke or like you're having a ginger ale there? I mean, in terms of, it's not, because you're putting like that alternative of, well, let's just put more sugar in rather than blood.
Yeah, like the sugar content of some of the soft drink, traditional soft drinks, even if it's a glass of orange juice,
right?
It's actually really, not really good for you at all. So I should know these facts. I think our high point is, so if you mix our high point Ruby with tonic, like a slimline tonic, that's less sugar content than a normal gin and tonic. So it's not like we're giving you a particularly high sugar content drink. And because you don't drink lots of it, it's a low consumption product. So as I say, you know, I'll drink, you know, I'm most of the way through this ginger beer now, and I actually have no idea what the sugar content is, but it will be a lot.
Yeah.
But it's never the
healthy alternative. I mean, when people
soft drinks aren't particularly healthy. I mean, water is good for you, as we all know, but it doesn't replace that moment. So to have a lowish sugar product that allows you to have a lower consumption rate than a sort of high sugar product is great. And we don't sell our product, you know, we aren't. I mean, you can see me, a lot of your listeners can't see me, but I'm not this health guy. It's just about better choices for me. It is a healthier, but we don't sell it as a health product, because I think once you're selling things as a health product or a healthier alternative, for me, it's just about, you know, we all need to make some better choices in our lives. We all know we shouldn't do something. So this allows you a credible alternative to some of those moments you might have without feeling that you're not getting the same as everyone else.
Do you think also there's a demand now or a higher demand for non-alcoholic drinks now, because there was so little choice back, you know, I'd say 10, 20 years?
Totally. I mean, you go back, I don't even know, 5 years even, the selection on whether bar shelf or supermarket shelf was, you know, one or two products. Now there is selection there, and there's different, you know, there's non-alc gins, there's non-alc vodkas. Be honest, I don't really get non-alc vodka, because vodka doesn't really taste of anything.
That's a good point.
You know, we've got spritz drink. You know, ours are made into spritz or mixes. We've got a really smoky one. So, you know, it doesn't try and mimic a whiskey, but it might replace it in a cocktail and things like that. We've got a selection of non-alcs behind me that I can see over there. We've got an Indian-based spiced one. There's non-alc beers back there. You know, there's non-alc alternatives for pretty much everything. And that's great, you know, just having selection, because, you know, much as I like our products, I don't always want to drink the same thing. You know, you want selection. So I think having a credible selection of adult beverages that, you know, you can drink in an adult environment, whether that's the pub or around a dinner, going over to friends at a party, whatever it is, that you don't feel that, you know, like the Schlur days, you go to a party and if you weren't drinking, they give you a bottle of Schlur or an elderflower cordial. Like, but at the same time, it's hardly exciting. After your second one, you're a bit,
enough to get you drinking again.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think, you know, the selection that's around in non-alc is amazing at the moment. And it's great for the quality, I think, now is better than ever before as well. So, you know, there are non-alc products out there that, you know, are great. And great alternatives and great replacements. So that's, you know, it's all good for the industry, and it allows, because the standard's improving, I think it's drawing more people in, which means there's more consumers and people making, you know, as I say, making better choices in whatever fits in their lives.
And so I was going to ask this at the beginning, but where does the name High Point come from?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So High Point is on the bottle, there's a rock formation, and it's actually from the highest point of Cornwall, which is called Router. It's actually not the highest point, it's the second highest point. But the highest point is actually called Brown Willie, and we didn't think Brown Willie was going to go that well for a non-alc product. So High Point was named after a Router, a rock formation on Router, which is sort of a 20-minute walk from my house. And I walk up there a lot with the kids, and it's just sort of, it just seemed to fit, because, you know, we're looking for that high point of your day, you know, that end of the day moment. Where quite often, you know, if you've had a hard day, that beer or that drink that you have when you get home is the high point of your day so far. And that's the moment we were looking to replace. So it sort of fitted, and when we were chatting about it, I was walking up that hill a lot. it just seemed to work.
And so you released this last year, is that right? Back in...
Yeah, so we sort of... Late summer last year, we served it in our own bars last summer and it went really well. We were due to launch the product itself in June last year, but because of COVID and supply issues, like bottles didn't arrive till September. So I can't remember if it's August or September. And then we sort of got the product into market, and you know, we've picked up. We've got some amazing accounts. We're in some of the best bars and restaurants in London and Cornwall, where we've sort of tried to hit first, and it's going really well. Yeah, people are loving it. It's a product with lots of flavor. It's slightly different. So we definitely polarizes, especially the amber, which is really smoky. So we actually smoke some of the ingredients in there, smoke the liquid.
Oh, nice.
So it's different. And because of that, it is slightly polarizing. People really love it or really hate it. And I'm cool with that. You know, I think if we make a product that's, it's just all right and it sits in the middle and no one really cares, it doesn't fill anyone with any passion. So, I'd much prefer to be a product that you love or hate's a strong word, but you can really get behind, or it's really not for you. I think just bland in the middle. We get our reviews are like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever tried, or whoa, this really isn't for me.
And that's
cool. The joy is that we're getting like 75% people really love it and 25% really don't. And obviously it was the other way around, we might want to.
It wouldn't be commercially viable. But would you say it's a bit like maybe peated whiskey in that it's a divisive?
Yeah, it's really smoky, but it's not trying to sit in a whiskey space, but we're finding people are using it instead of the amber, especially. It's bartenders are absolutely loving it as an ingredient. Alcoholic, non-alcoholic drinks. I think a lot of non-alcs aren't very punchy. They're not like in your face big flavors. So when you mix them into non-alc cocktails, you're not really getting the benefit of the drink, but ours are big, punchy, vibrant flavors. So when they're mixing them, they're able to mix them into big, full flavored drinks. And we've got everything from Collins's to Negronis, and people are replacing sort of really big tequila, like smoked tequilas, big smoky whiskeys with the amber. So there are all sorts. But it comes down to those big punchy flavors that are great for people to sort of hang the hat on.
Yeah. I'm always curious with non-alcoholic drinks or say a brewery company that's already got an established product and then branching out. I actually went to the Isle of Islay some years back, and the Brookladdock distillery there, they started to just do gin in the last couple of years alongside their whiskey, but they said that they could actually, it was a faster turnover because they had all the botanicals on the island anyway to make the gin. And of course you don't need gin to ferment for as long as whiskey. So I'm transmitting that over to you. Does the non-alcoholic version of a drink, does that take longer to put together than maybe brewing?
Beer. It's different. Let's talk about normal non-alc. As far as I'm aware, there's not many people really making non-alcs in the market. So there's a lot of smoke and mirrors around what is actually going on in the industry. And I think people are conscious of that when they're paying, £20 for a bottle, going, well, what am I really paying for? What we do, and I can actually show you because I'm at the facility where we make it, is we actually make a base liquor, which is fermented. It takes around 3 weeks to ferment. So a beer takes about 2 weeks. So already it's a longer process than making beer. So we make this base liquor and then we age it on different things. So we take one big batch and then we'll age it on all sorts of different botanicals. Like we've got oak in there. We've got... different zests. So we've got grapefruit zest, orange zest, and then we get together all of those things at the end and they all age and infuse for different amounts of time, and then we blend those back into the base liquids. So we make two or three different base liquids, age them on different infusions, and then our process is between at the quickest 3 weeks for some of the infusions, right up to sort of 8 weeks for others, and we've got barrel age versions. So as we're talking about how we do it, I'll take you through the magic door.
Yeah. Well, this will be fun, actually. So, yeah, whilst you're walking through the doors, Eddie's going to show us a few batches. If you're on the YouTube, people, we can show you this clip on the YouTube. Head over to Menswear Style.
And this is our links there. Facility. We've got a big window behind me here, which is why it's all a bit light.
Oh, nice. Bright.
So, so this is where we make the base liquor. It's a little brewery. So we make a tea base using all sorts of different teas, green teas, black teas. Lapsang goes into the amber, so we've got all the smokiness that you get from lapsang. Then we ferment in a few of these different vessels. So we get open top vessels. We do aerobic fermentations, we do anaerobic fermentations. We switch between the two, so we get a bit geeky with all the different bacteria. We've got product aging in barrels. If you look at those giant 3,000 litre barrels back there, we've got different products aging in those. Right down to some of the more obscure infusions where you've got these big vats on the floor, where you've got all sorts of different bits that are just aging at different levels. And then what we do is we take all of those different component parts and blend them back to give us the sort of the dream sort of liquid at the end. So,
amazing.
You know, it's a natural product. It's fermented with both yeast and bacteria. It takes time. And I think people get what it's about. Then they understand why they're paying, you know, takes us weeks to make this product, and I think people therefore can appreciate it. And it, you know, we are craftsmen as such.
That's fascinating. Well, Eddie, I think you might
just send in some flavors profile to the lab.
Could you tell us, just to wrap up, the people that might be buying some High Point drinks, what the best signature serves might be, maybe a two or three signature serves that you recommend or some that you've already got in on your go.
I mean, the High Point, which I just grab a bottle of each so you can see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Let's have a quick look at these. Eddie's just gone to the top shelf.
I'm back. I do apologize.
That's all right. Here we go.
So Ruby, it's our big red. It's ruby colored. Nice. And it's a beautiful red, sort of Campari colored drink. Signature serve on that was super simple, just with tonic, 50 mils of tonic of High Point with a standard bottle of tonic water, 275 bottle, over ice, slice of grapefruit, just perfect. Really sunny day drink that you can, you know, just get behind and sip in the sun. And that's sort of where it all started. And then amber, really, you know, our serve with this one, I mean, people get crazy. We've got people making all sorts of different drinks, but, you know, just standard 50 mil with a ginger beer over ice works great. Right through, you know, I was drinking this the other day with Vimto.
Old school.
Proper old school, like I'm a northerner. So, you know, having Vimto, we just had some around and someone said, you should try that. So just with lime and Vimto, it was next level. Honestly, it was amazing. It broke smoke, complexity. It took what is, you know, a kid's drink to just a whole nother level. It brings, you know, fermentation. What fermentation does, it brings complexity to products. And so you're getting really complex layered flavors from these things. And you just don't get that. You just don't get that from any other technique of liquid production, in my view. So what they allow you, you know, the amber, definitely, you know, get a hold of it, play with it. You know, it's not bad. Don't drink it neat. Like, it just doesn't taste great. So, right. Mix it into ginger beer as a standard serve or ginger ale, or really get creative. And then, you know, the ruby's totally different, just with a tonic water, and, you know, it makes a really great long drink.
And it will be a nice surprise for the guests, I think. So now that we're opening up a bit and the sun's coming out, a few more garden parties, this will be something different for people to get involved with as well and be conversation stimulators around the barbecue.
I'm digging it. I think it. People are really surprised. We use some of the ingredients in there that you really only get in alcohol. So things like wormwood, people don't have that flavor normally in their lives, but the places you would have had it before, it's like absinthe, and it's in quite a lot of alcoholic drinks. So that's in both of these products. And when you drink it, people go, but it has got alcohol in it. It can taste the alcohol. It really doesn't have alcohol in there. And that plays some tricks with your mind, which is great. And it just gets people thinking and talking. And that's what quite often, you know, those situations where we are drinking alcohol traditionally are about those social situations. So, you know, they do a lot of the things by, they open things up. It's conversation piece and it gets people talking and communicating and enjoying an evening.
I'm all involved with that. I can't wait to get my hands on a bottle of that. Definitely the amber that I'm going for first. But Eddie, I appreciate you've got a bit of a hard out. You've got a beach to get to. I've got a dog to pick up from the vets. I could talk to you for hours, but maybe another time. Thanks so much for walking us through and showing us behind the scenes. Continued success, mate.
Thanks very much. Take care.
You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you'd like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.